When in the my days, when I was a kid, people would have large flocks of sheep, and many times they would trail them over from Pendleton. I don't know if it was through the mountains or what, but they would trail them out to the north end of the valley up in the mountains there, and they'd do it for Somerville. And we kids would always stand out there, and there was usually a bummer lamb or two that they didn't want to have to fool with, so they'd give it to one of the kids. We never had one because we didn't have any place to keep it, but see those big bands of sheep yet going through there?
Hundreds of them?
Oh, yeah.
Where were they taking them?
To the north end of the valley up in the mountains.
For summer pasture? Do you remember any other kinds of, well, there were lumber mills, of course, in the valley, but any other kinds of industry of any sort?
Can I talk on that one?
Certainly.
First?
I can't ride around there. There's mills in Elgin and the mills here.
Wasn't there a mill right behind or right next to Dry Creek School? On the creek there, Crick?
Fiber factory. For fibers were made out of pine needles.
I've not heard about that. Now tell me.
There's,
you weave them
and
together?
This is where Emory Oliver will come in real strong. His memory is so good. But I want to back up just a little bit because when we get into the Sanderson Springs, my dad was the second owner of the property he lived on, that he bought. First it was 140 acres. It had been written as a land grant, and I have to, this is where Emory come in, because I'm not sure if I pronounce it right or spell it right, maybe you know it. Nokomis Land Grant. You ever heard of it?
No.
Well, I have always accepted the name Nokomis, but Emory corrects me and says it's a little different than that. But anyway, it was an original land grant.
From the U.S. government?
Yes. The U.S. government was attempting to promote a railroad to go up through Grand Round Valley, out through what's called the Swale, out through my uncle Frank Whittle's property and part of the grading building of the line was done out through there.
That was to go from LeGrand. Union and Cove, wasn't it? Or was it LeGrand?
Well, anyway, it's going north to Somerville, yeah. Or it's by Somerville, mm-hmm. And on up through sort of what we might think of as the Ruckel Road. Mm-hmm. And come out I don't know where. But anyway, I don't know exactly where it went. No, I think it was west of where the present road of Emmer is. It was over in the Swale, that bottom part of the valley.
No, but I mean, instead of building it there, they built it through Inbrook.
And up to Willowen, Joseph. But this was to go to
generally west,
west.
Or northwest.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Well, one of the principal bodies of water that was coming to feed the Grand Round River, one of them wasn't as big as Catherine Creek in Union, but it was a sizable stream, was the one that came headed at the Sanderson Springs. And in the early 20s, LeGrand surveyed that water, considering it to be the source of water for the city of LeGrand. August Stang, who had built the Stang Mill, was one of the principal supporters of this, but there was other businessmen of that time that were also supporting it. And they measured the water for quality and quantity. They put little dams at the five springs. One was on Granddad Sanders' place, and four of them was on my dad's place. And the basic water, keeping out the other water that come in, but just those, and the flow was exactly the same in the middle of January as it was in the middle of July. And this should be somewhere in the recorder's office somewhere in the Grand Still to this day. And the quality was of a like nature coming from the high country in the Minim area. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that was what was told us. At the end of that survey, the city voted, and at that time it was going to cost quite a lot of money, and also it didn't have very much fall, so it had to be quite a lot of pumping to get it here and up into. So it was voted down, but that was something that was a major thought to LeGrand at that time. This bit of water, which is probably, I'm guessing, probably at that time that water was flowing at twice the volume it is today. In 80 years, two of those springs, or practically one, two of them are gone now. They're not even flowing, and the third one is very small. The big spring is on the right-hand side of the road going north from Somerville. Is still flowing the principal amount. But back in those days, with twice that water, and water power being the principal provider of power, these mills would be built along that creek. And this Nokomis land grant, they were timber people. And of course they would take off the first girl's timber and then sell it. And my dad bought that piece of property from them. But there was a Wade and Wright lumber company. Nokomis was didn't have a mill, but Wade and Wright was there. I don't know what the name of the company was that had this fiber factory. From the fiber, they would make horses.
Collars,
you know, and things like that on it. But I guess it went not too successful. But there were little mills between below where we lived and Somerville.
All using the power from this creek.
Uh-huh.
Did all five springs or six springs flow into it?
They flow together right there down in my dad's property. They all become one creek.
That creek still has a pretty strong flow. I remember seeing it recently.
Yes, but can you imagine it being over twice as big?
Yeah,
in that church?
Yeah. I can see why.
Some of that might be
power.
Imagination on my side, but this measurement for LeGrand will verify that it was a pretty good sized body of water. Over 5 million gallons of water was coming out of one spring in 24 hours.
That's incredible.
Now, talking about the spring, I have to bring this picture out. From time, how long ago? The Umatilla tribe, the Nez Perce, which was out of Pendleton what's the other place?
Umatilla.
Not the town of Umatilla.
The reservation.
Every spring, we pack up. Now, if this, as near as I was told, the babies to the old people that couldn't even travel anymore, all packed up, left the place in
reservation.
and headed up over the Blue Mountains. They got up over the Blue Mountains, and Elm and I are not exactly sure if it's just the one trail or if there's more. But the basic trail we refer to as the government trail. Sometimes they call it the Indian Trail. But all of the principal travel between over there and here that before roads of much size travel. I won't tell you about the sheep a little bit, but I'm going to tell you about the Indian travel. They would get up, and by the time they got from the reservation, they would come right down to my dad's place and camp there for close to a week. They'd stay there because there's abundance of fish. There's what's called a ruffle grouse. They're kind that you just throw a stick at. They just sit there, you know, particularly if there's a dog or two to keep them treed. And then they would get roots and herbs and all the things that Indians use. It was natural, right there. And before my dad bought the place, they would camp right there where the big spring flowed into the other three that were on our property. And so when Dad got the property, of course, before he ever put fences in, they'd come there a little while, going to the Wallowas, and then in the fall, come back, be a natural place to camp in the fall again, rest their horses and lots of native grass, everybody, and while they were there, why, if you wanted to trade for anything, maybe they had moccasins and gloves and whatever, you could trade that for whatever you might have, you know. And so I can remember before we ever made the trip up to Victoria, up to Vancouver Island, so I'd be behind my dad and watch as we'd go down there with the campfire at night, you know, and see all these strange, funny people. And
they were entirely peaceful, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Just Dad did talk with them, you know. And we'd,
did you hear any English? Do you remember?
I don't remember that.
Probably not.
I don't remember anything like that, because then about the time I can remember things where they were big enough, I was big enough to recognize. One year they came in an automobile. No horses anymore, but they came in an automobile. And they only stayed a day or two. And then after a while they never came anymore. They could get from there to there in one day.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a bit of history that
it really was.
Is very more memorable.
You were, I think, very fortunate to see that last phase of a kind of life that was probably native to these Native Americans for thousands of, or hundreds at least, of years.
Whatever, something exciting.
They used to come down and camp on Skip's grandfather's place out here on the Foothill Road. And down in the meadow, it was just blue with camas, and they camas down there, and there was a warm spring just this side of the house a ways, and a pond that was warm, and they'd do their washing and all in there.
Mm-hmm.
I never did see it because it was before my time out there. But
now something else is, Elma will tell you about this, is big herds of sheep.
She did tell me, yes.
And us kids, when they come up through our place, you know, there's probably a half a mile of road that would travel. It was fenced then, as they fenced. So us little kids, we'd hear that the sheep were bringing a herd of sheep, so we'd run down to get to the very edge of our property and ask them if we could help them herd the sheep. Because every once in a while they'd get across into our property, you know, and of course the sheep herders are always glad to get rid of little bummer lambs. So if we do that, they'd give us a lamb. And we'd bottle feed it, you know, and have a bummer lamb. That was a big experience to get
yes.
a bummer lamb that we'd have to feed with a bottle.
Could we go back for a minute to that pine weaving factory you spoke about? Do you know any more about what the process was?
I don't know a thing about that.
It's the first time I've heard of it. You said it wasn't very successful.
You said it's the first time you've heard of it, isn't it now?
When you mentioned it.
Talk to Emory Oliver
okay.
then, because their folks, the Olivers, had a mill. Emory's great uncle, I think it is, Turner Oliver. And whether he owned this fiber factory or not, I don't know. The only thing is us little kids, we'd sneak out behind the barn in the schoolhouse and roll this fiber up and smoke it.
Oh. I'll bet it tasted awful.
Montgomery Ward catalogs.
You were being really naughty.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, something else I told you about, August Stang was involved with promoting the water for LeGrand. He liked to come out to our place and fish. And August Stang always had a cigar. And after he smoked a little while, he'd throw it away. And when I was probably 8 or 9 or 10 years
you
old,
rescued
I'd,
it, huh?
I'd fight him and smoke him.
Talking about falling off of the horse and swallowing tobacco.
Oh, after I was. This is before Elma went to school in Somerville. No, I mean to church. And I have to add something to that is that Mrs. Starnes, she spoke of as a teacher of a student of Sunday school. I knew the Starneses, and the Starnes family were a highly respected. Everybody respected them as just fine people. And for her, by a member of the Starnes family saying anything, it just became right for all of us. But before Mrs. Starnes started running a Sunday school, they would be evangelists or preachers that hold church for
revival meetings
yeah. And of course us kids were expected to go, which we did. We'd always go. So there'd be kids on horseback. There'd probably be 4 or 5 of us on horseback each. In my case, I had a horse, my mother's horse by then. And so we went to this particular one Sunday, and our folks were having a get-together at a people's place about a mile and a half. In fact, it's where Emory Oliver lives now. And people by the name of Monahan lived there. And our folks went with us kids all went to this Sunday school. There must have been 6 or 7 of us. I was one of the younger ones. Some of the older kids, one of them got a hold of a plug of chewing tobacco. And of course, all of us were chewing them, you know. And this old horse that I had, she's getting pretty old by then. She had a tendency to shy. And so on the way from Somerville, I hadn't gotten very far. And old Flossie shied. And off I went. And what I did, I swallowed this. I don't think I ever can remember being sicker than that in my entire life.
Poor Mom couldn't understand why he was sick.
Oh, but we made it up to that place, and Dad took my horse home. And Mom took me in the buggy or hack or whatever we had at that time. That doesn't need to be in the... Those are memories that come up on.
Oh, yes. Do you think we've come to the end of your most important memories about...
Do I address you as Eugene or Doctor?
Well, Eugene.
Eugene, okay.
I can't think of any more right now, not till after the week.
Okay, well, I can come back if you want me to.